It's a little wild, a little strange, coming down from on the range, singing, if they are crying, dude. You get it?
I couldn't tell if you're... If your audio is really, really bad or if your voice is really, really bad. I'm stuck between the two.
I'm not going to lie. I never really watched the show, so I had to like quickly look it up, how it goes. But do you have any idea what that was or where it was from?
Hey, Dude?
Yeah!
Oh, man. What did I win?
Anywhere from 30 to 90 minutes of talking with me.
No, oh my gosh, hopefully it's 30. I know that you have tons of that you want to talk about, so I'm going to let you yip-yap away.
There's nothing. I don't. It's always better when you ask me, so I got nothing to say. I'm living in Texas. It's a little wild and a little strange.
What's the wildest part about living in Texas?
The wildest part, I'll tell you what's kind of, I mean, ironically wild. Like, people are extremely nice here. Like, there is so, like, you know how like last year, like in the dead of winter, I was like really angry on the text thread, and like people were honking at me as I was like loading my kids into the car and all this stuff was going on, like. It's like the complete opposite now. Like, there's so much niceness. I cannot even like tell you. Like, there's like just like simple things. Like, people just say hello. Like, you talk to people in the grocery store. Like, it's a completely different world.
And that's wild to me. Are you wearing a mask at these grocery stores?
So I'll tell you that when we first moved down here, that was in July. We kind of made a decision like, all right, you know, we're vaccinated, kids had COVID, like, yeah, you know, I don't think we need to necessarily keep doing the mask thing right now. Like, cases were low, not that much. As of like about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, back to wearing masks everywhere because of the variants and the breakthrough cases and how contagious it is and all that kind of stuff. So back to full on masks.
Yeah, that's you mentioned that about a week ago. And since you said that, I've been trying to do better about it. Definitely today I was out and about with the kids and we were wearing masks and we're still like the only ones in public places. But I'm going to do my part. It's going to help us stay healthy. If we don't catch a cold or COVID, that'd be good for my household. So that's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I think I still like – Push and I were talking about not wearing masks when we first moved out here. I still kind of like wore a mask from most places, especially when I was out on my own. Not because I was afraid to get it, I've already had it. Not because I was afraid of spreading it, because I was doing it as a reminder to everyone else, like, this ain't over, essentially. Like, you know what? Yeah, the cases were down, all that stuff, but we're not out of it yet. And I think that's, you know, I was just trying to kind of like make it a point, like, you know, we're not free of it, kind of thing. And you know, unfortunately, we're back to where it was. And you know, if I didn't have young kids, would I be wearing a mask now? I don't know. I may not, actually. But because I don't know, it's very nuanced. But the best way to get through this is for everyone to mask up all the time. So.
Right, and get vaccinated.
And get vaccinated. 100%. I can't tell you how many people I have dealt with that have not gotten vaccinated, and I don't have words for them.
I got a text from Amy today about her pediatrician or doctor friends that through Epic that were noticing a lot more kids being hospitalized through the Delta variant. Any insight on that from a fellow doctor?
I don't know much about COVID, Delta, and its effects on kids. Kids and the illness as far as how sick they are getting. But what I do know is that is leading to a higher viral load in everybody. And so I was saying to take it a step back to kind of to understand what that means. So people are exposed to viruses every day, but there's a difference between being exposed to a virus and being infected with it. So if you, you know, we just throw out numbers there. So let's say you need to have 10,000 particles of virus in your body in order to lead to an infection. If it's less than 10,000, your body will fight it off, essentially. So that's how, and this is how the vaccine works. Basically, the vaccine, you think about it as like you're running as a race, okay? Like a mile race. And people who are not vaccinated are starting at the start line, but people who are vaccinated are starting at the half mile. So, and that's like your immune system's ability to fight off the virus before it, you know, causes an infection, essentially. So this Delta variant is leading to much larger amounts of viral load in your body, and thus it's easier to spread that virus to other people. And it's what the thing that's really concerning is that people who are vaccinated are also getting really heavy amounts of viral load and can spread it to other people. And that's something that no one would have expected. So, but as far as people who are vaccinated, I can tell you this firsthand information. I have not taken care of a single person who has been vaccinated who has been in the ICU. Every single person who has been sick enough to be in the ICU has been not vaccinated. I cannot speak for kids. I do not know how this has been affecting kids.
Okay. Well, I mean, to me, I look at it as like, we're not back to where we were with the mask. We're still in the pandemic. This is just hopefully the tail end of it. We've done our part. We've got vaccinated. There's a chance we still might catch it. But like you said, it's encouraging to hear that from a doctor that you haven't seen anyone that's been vaccinated that's going to the ICU. So Costa, this segment is for you. I hope you can relax a little bit and enjoy life.
The bottom line is if you were vaccinated, the likelihood of you getting really sick and needing an ICU is extremely low. It's already low that you're going to get sick in general, but it's even lower. It's almost, honestly, at this point, it's literally close to zero that you will need to go to the ICU, and even lower than zero that you will need to be intubated. So get your fucking vaccine. It's pretty straightforward fucking shit.
All right. Well, this isn't
I've talked to people in passing, and when you really like sit there and talk to them about what their thoughts are on the vaccine and COVID, if you sit there and listen, they're fucking morons. They're literally fucking morons. There's no other way to put it. I had a conversation with someone today, and he's like, "Oh, you're a doctor. What are your thoughts on it?" I'm like, "Get your vaccine." He's like, "Well, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, last year, like, there was no flu. Like, there was no flu." And I was like, I didn't want to sit there and explain to him, but do you know why there was no flu? Because nobody was fucking around going out. So it could spread anywhere. And flu is as contagious as the COVID virus. Like, it's fucking science. It's not hippy-dippy bullshit. All right. I'll stop.
Thank you. Yeah. This is not a political or podcast about COVID. Let's talk about why we're really here.
Oh, first, I want to make a plug for something else real quick.
Okay.
I'm sipping on that. Do you remember when I sent that picture of that bottle of tequila that I bought a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Lalo.
I'm sipping. Yeah, yeah. Man. Nice.
Delicious.
Fred just put a picture of some straight rye whiskey that he's drinking. Okay. And it got approved by Steve, so he's doing it good too.
There you go.
Yep. It's that time of year.
It is. It's right around the corner.
Where do you want to start?
So I think there's two things we could talk about. We could do some keeper analysis, because there are some teams that have a lot of good choices. And then we can get into some of the rule things, if you like.
I think that's two things we should definitely touch on. You care to start one way or the other?
I do not.
Let's start with the draft stuff. I think we can kind of really get the keeper stuff, and that we can get locked in on fantasy once we talk about that and talk about some of the rule changes that we're gonna see in this year.
Yeah.
How do you want to go through each team and just talk about the top options, or just?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with Fred's team.
I think Fred has it's a no-brainer on who to keep.
He declared his keeper on GroupMe today when he found out he had to keep Nick Chubb for $11. And I was when he sent that message, my first thought was, you must have drafted him for $1 his rookie year. And then I tried looking for the draft to see if that's what happened, if it was like a auto drafter. It was, yeah. So he definitely fell into that. He's for the next 2 or 3 years, he's gonna have a pretty good advantage going into it if Nick Chubb is as good as he has been the last 2 years.
Yeah. I remember that season, because Nick Chubb ended up on his team, and I think third on the depth chart that year. I think that was the year that Carlos Hyde was on the Browns, and there was someone else. And Nick Chubb didn't really burst onto the scene until halfway through the season, but he was just sitting on Fred's team the whole year.
And if he was an active manager, and I'm not saying that this against him, if he was an active manager, he probably would have dropped Chubb early in the season, improved his team. But since he didn't, nah.
Reaping the benefits.
That's gonna right. So maybe it does pay off not to pay attention. I thought we'd start with there because it's pretty dry, pretty simple. We talked about him on GroupMe today. Let's move over to Grant's team. I'll start off real quick. He has an option of tying up, securing like one of the top running backs at a pretty high price of $25, but if he were to let Henry go at 25, he might be paying more for him if he wanted to keep for him. So he has an option right there to take Henry for 25. Thoughts on that, or anyone else on his team that you think he might go for?
I mean, the other option, he's got Josh Allen for 16. I don't know. Ours is kind of like a, it's a super flex, but you can play two quarterbacks. Josh Allen is being touted as one of the top tier quarterbacks this season. So depending on how much you value him, that could be a decent bargain for him. Derrick Henry, I think, is at 25. I think is a good price, honestly. I think that Derrick Henry is going to go in somewhere in the 50 to 60 range. So if you want to lock up your, one of your RB1 slots.
I think Derrick Henry is pretty safe play. He's so good. His only knock is that he doesn't really do well in the passing game. Julio Jones is now coming over, so I don't know how they're gonna feed all those mouths as far as Julio, AJ, and Derrick. But he's one of those top tier running backs you can lock up for under value. And Josh Allen, another good option, but again, the quarterback's a little bit deeper. I think you can spend a little bit more than 16 and get quarterback kind of close, but Josh Allen is a stud too.
At the end of the day, it's a run first team. Like,
right.
Tannehill is not a high volume thrower. He is an efficient passer.
Right.
I thought the season, not last season, the season before when he burst on the scene, I thought that was a one-off. I wasn't sure if he could repeat it, but he definitely, I think he took maybe a little bit step. Like, his numbers weren't as great as they were, but they were still serviceable in a top 15 fantasy QB. So, but they're a run first team and they'll run Henry into the ground. And I mean, I think Derrick Henry's career takes a downturn at 30. They got to be running back. So,
all right. Moving on, I'm going to move up to Daniel Myers, Daniel's team. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why you have his last name on there. But anyways, he doesn't have as many.
I literally just copied these from a website. So if the last names were in there, that's how they got in there. So
I know. I'm just busting your ball. I kind of was covering up for why I said Danny Meyer's team. But Mr. Daniel doesn't have the greatest options. I think his best one that stands out to me is Cooper Kupp at 15. Matthew Stafford's upgrade. There was some injury news from him recently about re-aggravating something that was bothering him last year. They're kind of holding him out of camp, but I mean, it's kind of early on to have that be an issue. But I think Stafford's an upgrade for Kupp, but you don't know with the play calling there for the Rams. They don't know if it's going to be Woods or Kupp. He's not a lock every week to dominate, but he does have capability. He's done it in the past, put up big numbers. $15, you're not really blowing the budget. You're going to get a pretty solid wide receiver in there. Any thoughts on his options?
I mean, the option is, you know, Ronald Jones for eight, depending on how you think that running back thing will break down. Ronald Jones was, he's the between the tackles guy for the most part. They had a pretty good run team. I don't want any part of that offense, but you know, maybe somebody does. I think Cooper Kupp, I think 15 is probably what he's going to go for in the draft. My prediction is that Myers ends up keeping him because I'm pretty sure we talk about this with Myers every year. He has certain players that he just stands by and picks every year. Cooper Kupp has seemed to fall into that with him. I predict that he ends up keeping him.
Yeah. One question about this lineup. Didn't he have the dude from Minnesota? Jeffers?
If we were playing for the last year.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense too. Okay, yeah. Sorry, Daniel. All right. I agree with you in his strategy.
There's a lot of people, not a lot, but there are a lot of like really good values that could have been had. The other one that comes to mind is Jonathan Taylor. Fred got him, I think, in the draft, Fred drafted him. But like, you know, we made an agreement before the season that, you know, this last season was in a vacuum. So,
oh, yeah, no, a lot of that was a brain fart for me. So yeah, moving on. Daniel is definitely gets his guys that he knows about. And he'll be active during the season, and he'll find guys like Jeffers. What's his name from Minnesota? Or am I blanking?
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. That's hard to say.
You're hosting a podcast, and you don't know the name of the wide receiver that like broke all rookie records last year.
I know. I shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing this. I did know that he was on Daniel's team from last year, though.
There you go. Okay. That counts for something.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, as I try to embarrass myself last, let's move on to Costa. You start this off with his options.
There is no option. You know who he's keeping. It's Alvin Kamara. Yeah. There's nothing else to keep.
That's true. I'm high on Kamara this year because I don't know, they're not going to be able to move the ball and spread the ball like they did without Drew Brees, and Kamara's probably going to be most of their offense if he can hold up. Costa and Kamara. He's not what?
You know, Kamara, he's not up for, we'll see. Drew Brees was really good at getting Kamara the ball in space. And Kamara cannot run between the tackles with like 18 to 20 touches. And I don't know if Winston or Taysom Hill can get the ball to him in space like Drew Brees did. I'm not high on him at all. So.
Okay, thanks for your opinion that nobody asked for. Moving on, Josh. Josh has some options. He can
Josh
go
has a lot of options.
10. Yeah, he does. And he's a defending champ, which is interesting. I mean, he just built a good roster 2 years in a row, I guess. I don't know how else you can look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but the thing is, like, I mean, this team was very, like, young as far as the talent-wise during this season. And even at the beginning of last season, people sprung up last year. So, so he's got a lot of good options. I think I know what direction I go if I'm him. But it's not an easy decision. You have a lot of choices.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's got Waller at 10, Terry McLaurin at 10, Moisture at 10. I mean, I don't think anyone else has three good options like that.
He's got
none of them are.
He's got Calvin Ridley at 15, who was on his injured reserve that season too.
I didn't see that. Well, yep. So he can go any direction he wants.
Yes, I'm not gonna give my opinion because I think this is a tough decision, and I don't want to.
I'm sure we're gonna revisit it at some point this year. I think the defending champ should get some more either praised or scrutinized with his decision.
I will say though, Josh has not always made good keeper decisions. You know, so I mean, obviously we know about the whole Zeke debacle, Hawaiian excursion, try to pick up drop kind of situation. But if you remember back, I think it was probably the year after that, he had actually drafted Christian McCaffrey his rookie year for, I forgot how much. It was something in the keeper range. And this was right before, this is when McCaffrey was probably going in the top five or six running backs. So he had a choice between keeping McCaffrey or Josh Gordon. He chose Josh Gordon. So this was the year when Josh Gordon, I think, had come back, played for the Patriots, and was somewhat decent and was staying clean and yada, yada, yada. So we'll see.
I'd rather be in his position with a bunch of options than someone that doesn't have any options. So. All right, let's go to the always competitive, always in contention, Joey. What are your thoughts on some of his options?
So I remember this because this was when Weitzman had the infamous Michael Thomas for Barkley Keenan Allen trade went down because Weitzman had traded away Thomas because he was still a keeper to Rossett. Because Weitzman was planning on, I'm pretty sure, keeping Josh Jacobs at that time, because this was right after Josh Jacobs' rookie season. He was a three down back. He was on the upswing. But Josh Jacobs is not the same after his past season. So I don't know if that's I don't know, 21 for him. I don't know if that's a good price or not. I have to see how the draft comes. But I'm not paying complete attention because he's got some receivers with some good price tags on it.
He's got options as well, like Josh. Yes. I don't think they're as good. He can, if he really likes a player, he can kind of get them, lock them in. But he's paying like the Stephon Diggs, who was, you know, the number one wide receiver last year. Getting for $30 this year, that's a discount for what he's going to go in the draft. So if he's in love with a guy like that, you know, he can go that way. He's got one of the, you know, the top, I would say the top half of the tight ends, Mark Andrews for a reasonable price. If, you know, the tight end, he's got even Kyle Murray. If he loves Kyle Murray, he could pay $20. He'll go Kyle Murray's and go more than $20. So he's got options there if he wants on his team. So he's in a good spot.
Yeah. And then he also has
AJ Brown for 10.
For 10.
Yeah, if he wants to save money, he can go that route and get, you know, high end wide receiver 2. I don't know whatever AJ Brown is.
And then he's got Amari Cooper for 27. And that's interesting because he drafted Amari Cooper, and that's when he was on the Raiders. And then I think he got traded this season.
Yeah.
And then he and then he exploded on the scene in Dallas. So, yeah, I don't know what the right answer is here either. I don't know, and I don't know what Weitzman will do either. Weitzman's never usually a big spender when it comes to auction drafts. So,
it'll be interesting to see. He's got some decisions to make too, and he's probably going to dwell over it a lot more than Josh will. Tell you that much.
Oh yeah, Weitzman's going to be thinking about this until Tuesday.
Till we go to 7. Till we go to space.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff thought he had himself a keeper locked up for years to come, and now that trade that you had just mentioned before for Michael Thomas is not looking so good. $21 for him to keep him for a guy who's probably going to miss the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season. But you can throw him on the IR. He doesn't really have any other options. Maybe Tyler Boyd for 16. That's still a little higher.
Yes, he does. He's got Patrick Mahomes for 13.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that.
And this is why I didn't understand why he made the trade from Michael Thomas for a keeper anyway. Like, he has a keeper.
So he basically helped Joey win a title. Collusion?
Well, I mean, I looked at how the points broke down. I was going to lose even if that trade didn't go through, unfortunately, because my team shed an egg, so it didn't matter. But
if your team would have won, you would have claimed you were the champion or something?
No, I just like to look back. I get too involved with the numbers and situations and just play the what if game. So.
I definitely missed Patrick Mahomes for 13. I would assume with Michael Thomas, no Drew Brees, and him injured, that's a no brainer for Jeff.
I think so. I honestly, even if there was Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, I still keep Mahomes at 13. So.
Next up, Turbin, and I was looking through his players, I was having my fingers crossed that his team would have no options. And if there was one person that had no options, I'd hope it'd be him, but he does have a pretty good option with DJ Metcalf for $6.
DK Metcalf, not DJ.
I said DK.
DJ, sorry.
That's a no brainer.
It's probably the number one or number two best keeper option of all this as far as value that you can get for it. So 100%.
So Turb, this is your chance. This is your year, Turb.
And actually, Turbin did not draft DK Metcalf because I had to go through and look at all the values. I believe if I remember correctly, Mitchell drafted DK Metcalf.
With an auto draft?
Probably.
There's no way Mito is making selections on $1 players.
Yeah.
So auto draft matters. That's the theme of this podcast, huh? All right, let's that's a good segue to Mito, and let's talk about his options.
I take Trubisky at 17, 100%. This is Trubisky's year.
Go play. Yeah. Chase Edmonds could be the starting running back in Arizona.
Yeah. Be high on him and that, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, they brought in James Conner, but James Conner can't stay. He had one good season. He can't stay healthy. Maybe I keep him for $10. That's not that much. I don't know what
I mean, us talking about it right now and us at the draft when we know if he's going to be the starting running back, you're going to see the preseason games. That's going to – Mikkel's going to have to make a decision. Obviously, Mikkel's not making a decision anytime soon anyways. He's probably not going to listen to this, and maybe he might listen to it. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter.
I think Chase Edmonds is the starting running back.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. I think it's his job. To get a starting running back at $10 is pretty good. I mean, I know he's not – anybody that's going to get 15 to 18 touches a game as a starting running back on that Arizona offense too, which could be pretty potent.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there's your team. We all know you're taking Eckler, and you can make your proclamation that it's one of the best values in the draft, blah, blah, blah. Moving on.
Yep, Agreed.
We got Steve. As I look through his options real quick, it looks like he's got a couple of so-so options with Aaron Jones and Adam Thielen. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, those are good. It depends what you think of Jacksonville with DJ Chark. I don't know what's going on down there. I don't know. You know, rookie running back, whole new, coaching staff. So Thielen's great, but is this the year where he falls off the cliff because he's starting to show some wear and tear? And then I don't know. Aaron Jones is that could be a value at that price.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that is a value at the point. Aaron Jones is going to go more than 24. Yeah. But you're spending $24 on keeper. But again, it's going to be a starting quarterback on a. He's not. I don't know if he's that one top tier running back, but he's definitely someone you can feel good about as your RB1.
I mean, here's the thought process that you have to go through. It's like, do you want to? Are you planning to spend big on a running back? If you are, then you shouldn't keep someone for like 25 because then you've just committed almost half of your money to the running back position, unless that's what you were planning to do. But
if he feels comfortable with him, Aaron Jones being his RB1, like if he was in a draft and he had the 10th pick and Aaron Jones was there, what's the difference? Now he's got more money to spend elsewhere because if it was the first,
No, but when I say by spending big, are you going into the draft wanting to get one of the top five running backs? That's what I'm talking about. If that's the case, then I would not keep.
Sorry. Right, but if you're okay going into it saying, this is going to be my RB1. You can build your team around that.
Then yes, 100%. Exactly. It all depends on what you're going to the draft with. I don't think Fiala's thinking that far ahead though.
No, and if Fiala falls in the me-too category, he'll. A lot of it, me, you, and a few others will start kind of paying attention now, more as the season ramps up. But a lot of it is paying attention to the season, picking up those players in the season, managing your roster. And once the season gets going, and our podcast has helped get people engaged. But finally, my team, I've been Kittle keeper for a while. I'm not loving some of the experts, what they have thoughts about him, but I'll probably take Kittle 15 unless I'm getting crazy and just want to get one of my top quarterbacks and take Lamar Jackson for 20, but probably Kittle.
I think Kittle is a monster, bottom line.
He is a monster, but their quarterback situation and they have tons of other options. They like to run the ball. They've got some Ayuk and Debo. Like, they got a lot of options. It's not like
but Kittle's a special talent. Like, I think that's a no-brainer to keep him. I understand the hesitancy and the concern, but
that's who I'm taking, but I'm for all intents and purposes. Just like I did with everyone else, I've gave my other options.
Yeah, I just, but I'm helping reassure you in the fact that, like, yes, they like to run the ball, but not a single running back has ever stayed healthy in their system.
Those are your keeper options for this year.
Help some people out as far as with the...
I don't know. I think a lot of the stuff we said was common sense. Like, we didn't really think... go that far outside of the box on some of the commentary here.
True.
Let's move over to the rule changes. Why don't you tell me what you have right now for stuff that's up for vote?
All right. So a couple of things that have been submitted. One, I think is a great idea. Meyer submitted this one, which would be because we're going into an 18-week season. So that will be, 17 weeks of the fantasy season. We have one extra week to play with. And we already have a really good system down that you came up with as far as you play everyone in division twice, and then there are, I think, three interdivision games. And so Meyer's suggestion was that basically the championship game would be over 2 weeks, which I think is great.
Don't you do something like that with your other league?
It's not like, no, we don't do that. We just play the whole fantasy playoffs coincides with the NFL playoffs, and you redraft every week. This is how, if you're in, like, if you play like in a regular, like, you know, 8 or 10 team league in ESPN, sometimes this is how the standard setup is, where like only 4 teams make the playoffs. Each playoff is 2 weeks long. And that helps favor the team that overall has been better all season, because you're the first one that can attest to this, is that year where you were basically undefeated, and then you had 1 week where you shat the bed. This allows the team who, you know, it's a better advantage for the team that has been producing week in and week out if they happen to have a bad week. So I like the idea. We'll see
what's the other option. Just keep it as it is and just don't do 17 and 18.
I don't know.
If you're going to put up something to vote, don't you have to do like option A or option B?
That's just an option of what to do with it. I haven't really thought about what else to do with it. You would probably just have to put in another interleague play game.
Oh, another regular season game?
Yeah. That's how it would be.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I when you send out the thing to vote for, I would give options of what you want. Don't, because then you're just going to cause more work for yourself. Because then once you do, I don't know. If that gets voted down, then you got to be like, okay, what are we going to do instead?
But here's the thing. The reason why like this can be so tricky, especially when it's being done through online, is because you don't want to lead. You can't. You know, this is why it was so difficult when, you know, we were putting up votes before, is because depending on how you word stuff, it's going to might lead someone a different way. So, for example, if you said one of the things was, let's get rid of kickers and put a quarterback in or something like that. Well, some people might want to get rid of kickers, but might not want it to be a quarterback. So they might still vote no, even though they want to get rid of kickers. You see what I'm saying? So like, depending,
yeah.
That's why that's why I usually try to do things in steps. So for example, this would be, do you want this to be the case? If people say no, then I'll come back and say something else, because someone might be like, oh no, I don't want to do that, but I do want to do that. So, and then you can't tease that out in a yes or no voting kind of thing. And this isn't being done in real time where people can get together and discuss things essentially. So I try my best to make it very black and white when it comes down to it.
Okay.
And yes, it leads
to, you are work, right. Whatever you want it to do. So that one is up. Anything else? Next thing on the list?
The next thing that I was going to put up is, there's been a lot of discussion about failure or negligence in setting up lineups. And so I'm going to put to vote something where if there is a questionable lineup submitted, that it will be put to a league vote. If people believe it was an ineligible lineup, then that person will be fined.
Okay, so penalizing not setting your lineup, and what to do with the extra week. Okay, what else has been submitted? Anything else?
So there's something that I have come up with. It'll be it's going to be kind of a two-parter. One would be getting rid of kickers.
Oh yeah.
But I was listening to a podcast, and this was an interesting thing. Allowing kickers to be used in the flex position.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Can we just lower the impact they have in scoring? Because like, if your kicker happens to kick six field goals that day, like you have such a big advantage over everyone else. Like maybe instead of having it be 18 points, maybe they only get three, 1 point for each field goal. Like
if we end up keeping kickers, yeah, I'll put that to a vote. But I personally like the idea of getting rid of the kicker slot, but allowing one of the flex positions to put a kicker in, and that you roll your dice. You know how kickers can be.
Yeah,
they can be 15. They can be two. I personally like that. I think that
keeps it's just because. Yeah.
I think it employs a lot more strategy and a lot more things going on. So I like that idea a lot. I don't know how everyone else will feel. I do feel like kickers will be abolished as far as whether or not they make it into a flex position. People will speak on that. But I don't think there's anyone who wants to keep kickers, except for maybe Costa, because Costa
likes Costa.
Kicker. But yeah. Other than that, I don't think anyone else wants to keep kickers in the league.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else that's been submitted?
You and I talked about this a little bit because this came up. I put this in my log about payouts, and then instead of right now we have a payment for highest points and best record, but instead of paying for the best record, should it be for, you know, highest victory points? Because someone had brought that up before. I don't know if it really makes a difference or not, but.
I mean, I would guess most times it doesn't, but for that one case, if it does happen, that person should be rewarded. So I like that. I think that should change. But again, we'll put up to vote.
That would make sense, because that's how our, you know, standings are decided anyway. It's not based on victory points, not on number of wins anymore. So,
can I submit my official request on the show right now?
Yeah, sure.
I am going to submit that we use a different website. So could you please put that on there? Either just put it up for a different website if it goes, and then we can figure out ESPN or Yahoo. If that does happen, Aaron, I will put all of our records that you care so deeply about onto a spreadsheet that we will be able to keep forever, just like you think they keep on the website.
Wow. All right. What's with the change of heart?
You're standing on this mountain. We don't, like, fantasies come so far that when we first started this and we got this website did do a lot more than other stuff, other ones, but the other websites do everything else. We can use an app. It would just make things easier.
All right. But
that's just me. I stood by your side for a while, and I think that we should reward our. I think I also want to see the people that don't set their lineups use that as an excuse once we get to ESPN or Yahoo or something like that. I also have another one, but I don't even know.
But before we move on, I will ask, because I have looked through, I it's only been ESPN, but I have looked through ESPN's scoring breakdown, and I feel like it's not as customizable as this. Are you telling me that it is?
I cannot tell you for sure, but I would imagine that it could be done.
No, because I looked through it last year. It's not. I know for a fact that it wasn't.
So like what changed, so if you're so certain, what can't we do on ESPN that we can do on?
You definitely cannot customize your defense points nearly as much. I don't know if you get as many of the options for bonuses as it does on this one. The way we give out bonuses is very customizable. I don't know if that's the case on ESPN. I think your options are more limited. I think those were the two that stood out. And it might have been also fractionated points on kickers too, but I don't know. But obviously,
we might be kicking it. We might be getting rid of kickers.
But I want to say that the bonuses were not, you have a lot of flexibility in how you give out the bonuses. I don't think that's the case on ESPN.
So to my point again, I tried getting onto our website and I can't even get on right now. Like the whole My Fantasy League is like down. But I, another thing I wanted to put up for, and it was about customizing score for the defense, was, and I don't even know, I tried looking into this, if you can do it. I probably have to like go on the forum and do a little more digging, but reward points for turnover on downs by the defense. I feel like late in the game, there's always like a defense that gets a stop, causes a turnover down, but your team, you have that defense and you kind of can't get any other points. Get a turnover on downs, maybe give them a half a point. Again, I have to do more research into that if that's possible on my fantasy league. Thoughts?
I'm totally for that. I'm pretty sure that ESPN will not do that. I'm logging into my fantasy league right now, and I will tell you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, I think that was probably my phone that crapped out there. I don't know why I don't have service.
All right, well, those are my, and that one, the last one can get dropped off the vote if it doesn't make any sense, if it's not feasible. But
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up right now. Do me a favor, email that to me. Just as a reminder, because I'll put that together sometime this week. General scoring setup. Let's see. No, that's not what I want.
Are you there?
I'm here. I'm looking it up. Cool. Right now.
All right. Well, we don't need to hear you. We don't need to listen to you look it up. So I will email you that. And this might be the last sign off for your leaks podcast. What do you think, Aaron?
It might be.
It might be, huh? Big changes coming.
It's quite possible. It's possible. keep people on the edge of their seats.
Yep. No more clues. No more hints. But it's been a good run.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what people are gonna do without it. I just don't know.
All right, we will talk again before the draft, my friend. I believe, if not after the draft, enjoy your wild Texas summer.
I'm trying to keep it cold as much as possible.
Cold's what brings out your anger, though. How hot is it there?
I mean, it's 95 to 99 every day.
Oof, that sounds brutal.
Well, luckily I work a lot more now, so I'm inside all day, so it's all good.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Peace.
Hey, dude.
It's a little wild and a little strange. You make it home out on the range. Start your horse and come along. But you can't get it right if you can't hold on. Singing, yippee-tai-yay-yay.
Yippee-tai-yay, what?
Like the cowboys say.
Sing it again now.
Yippee-tai-yay-yay.
Get along, little doggies.
Till the break of day.
Better watch out for those man-eating jackrabbits and that particular cacti. Hey, dude.